what this is all about is really getting in touch with what you value the most. And that may seem like, well, of course I know what's important to me. You know, doesn't everybody know what's important to them? The truth of the matter is, when we don't take the time to really go through and ask ourselves really pointed questions and really take quiet time to look at what's really important to us, we don't really have a full sense of it. And a lot of times our behaviors are not coming from a place of being in touch with what's really important to us. It's maybe what's important to other people. It's maybe what society is pressuring you to do. It may be what your job is pressuring you to do. But really, when you get in touch with what's really important to you at a core, deep level, it makes all the difference in the world. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And Jane, did you have something else you wanted to add to that?
Yes, I wanted to. It was just something that came to mind as I've been going through and reading the submittals that you have all sent to me, and like I mentioned earlier, that these are so well thought out, and feel like I really get to know you through this. But one of the things I want to point out is that there is a reason why you resonate with certain core values, and that's because you already are an expression of those values that you hold most dear. It's really more a matter of identifying and laying claim to them. And when you see a certain quality on this list that we're going to go through and you go, oh, yes, I really want peace, then, you know, you may be seeing it as something outside of yourself, but in fact, you're drawn to that because you have that quality within you. And so... just to remember, this is much more about remembering rather than it is about trying to change. It's almost more about trying to remember. And so just wanted to add that. And then, Rita Marie, I think you even had a really good example demonstrating this whole truth, didn't you, about...
I did, and it was someone that I was working with, and we were going through a one-on-one program of doing, like... getting in touch with core values and then teaching him some stress transformation techniques, and we're going to be doing a lot of that in this program. But he's an older gentleman, maybe in his early 70s, 71, 72, I recall, and we were going through helping him to identify his core values, and he finished the process, and he read them out loud to me, and he started crying. And he was so touched, and I said, what's going on right now? What are you feeling? He said, you know, what came as a top value for him was connection with his family, with his wife and his children. And, you know, he looked at all the other values that were in the top, and they all had very deep heart connection things. But what he realized in looking back over his life is that he had put making money at the top of his priority scheme. So his actions were not in alignment with his core value. He was putting his job and making money at the top and didn't get to spend much time with his family. So he had, throughout his life, in not being in touch with what was really important, was living it out and missed out on the connection. And he wondered why some of the relationships that he had with his kids were so strained. And it just was like, oh, my God, it was because I wasn't being true to who I was. No wonder we had this strained relationship. So it just brought to me, like, you don't want to end up, you know, in your 70s and suddenly deciding what your core values are and realizing that you've spent your entire life living outside of that and without expressing it.
And if our health goals seem to be evading us, then it can work really very similarly,
that
perhaps we're not actually taking action in alignment with our core values.
Exactly. What we're going to do is go through some of these, ask you to highlight some of these that really resonate on a core level with you, and then we're going to do some compare and contrast. Because that's the way it's laid out in the chapter to do, and that's the way it really hits you. Because if you believe that there's two values, say one of your values is health and another value is recognition, there may be some situations where those two conflict. And you're going to have to make a choice between, you know, do I go for recognition here or do I go for health here? And so we're going to take you through a process of comparing each of these and choosing which one, if I had to only choose one, if I could only have one, health or recognition, which would I take?
What we would normally recommend is that in the privacy of your own room, your own space. Go through these, read them out loud, if at all possible. And again, just see how you resonate with it. But for the sake of speed, then why don't you just go through the list and read through some of the top ones that grab you, Dr.
Okay.
Emery.
I can do that. Okay, so, you know, I'll pick out five that grab me, and then we can go through this process with those five.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Knowing and completely, you should all understand that you may choose half of the items. The first time you go through this, you may choose half of them. You may only choose 15, mm-hmm. but you're going to choose about five now, right?
I'm just randomly chose five that stood out for me.
Okay.
So the five that I chose were comfort, freedom, health, love, and money.
Okay. All right. And then if you would just go through them again and really kind of let those words soak in. Read them out loud again to yourself.
Okay.
And think about these. Consider factor. Is this a destination type goal for yourself?
Comfort, freedom, health, love, and money. Sure. So the next step that I would do, so I've labeled five. And like Jane said, you may have picked 20 or 30 of these, and you'll just keep going through. And the way I usually go through it is I go through and I mark whichever ones grab me. And then I'll go through again, and I'll see if any of them are like don't quite grab me quite as much so I can narrow it down. But when I get down to, you know, 10 or 20 of them, so then what we're going to do is compare them side by side. So I've got five. So I would say comfort and freedom. If I could have comfort but I didn't have freedom, which would I choose? So, for example, I am locked in a jail cell with lots of cushions and blankets and soft music, but I couldn't go anywhere. Which would I choose? So when you think about them, and you really think about them that way, it's a way you've never thought about comparing these kinds of things before. So it's kind of artificial in that probably in life you're not going to have to choose between a jail cell and, you know, and whatever. But it gives you the idea, like, it really helps you to identify which is the top priority for you. So you're going to go through these, and at the end of this exercise, you will have identified your top 10 values. So for me, if I had to choose between comfort and freedom, I would choose freedom.
Okay. And then what you would do with that is that you take freedom as the top of the two and compare it with the next one on your list, which would have been be health. So in going through that same process, Dr. Rita Marie, freedom and health.
And this is a tough one because for me, health gives me freedom. So if what I mean by that is if I'm not healthy, I don't have the freedom to be able to, you know, go where I want to go, do what I want to do. I'll be stuck, you know, being in bed or whatever. So if I had to choose between health and freedom, I would choose health because health can buy me freedom.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, then comfort and freedom are still way up there in your top because these are the five that you picked out. But now you would compare health and love. And of those two, and knowing that you will never have to choose between the two, there again, that they do coexist. But if you were to compare, how would you choose?
If I had to choose between love and health, so these, you know, are very top values for me. That's what I sign everything with is love and health. And if I were to have to choose, I would go with health. Okay, and here's a way when you're stuck. You could say, okay, so you can't figure out which you would go for. And you say, well, if I had the choice of being completely healthy, and having no love in my life, or I had lots of love in my life, but I couldn't have my health, which would I choose? You know, I was going to be in bed and suffering and in pain. And that's a really tough choice, not one that you'd really necessarily have to make. But I would say, that's a hard one. I would say I would choose my health, because I could build back the love and I could surround myself with love if I have my health. But if I don't have my health and I get crotchety and irritable and I'm falling apart, then I'm going to lose my love as well.
So
and again,
yeah,
that might be totally different from how you would look at it. And there's no right or wrong here.
Exactly. That's a great point to make. There is no right or wrong, because all of these are our own conceptions of these characteristics. So then, having made that choice, then you would compare love with your last value was, again.
No, health. I would go health, because that was still my top one.
Health, yes.
Health with money. And, well, you know, that's not such a hard one, because no matter how much money I have, if I'm not healthy, there's no way I could enjoy the money. So money is, again, one of those means goals. You know, money is nice to have, but given the choice between health and money, and given my health, I have health, I could generate more money. I could figure out ways to generate more money. But if I have lots of money, but I don't have my health, you know, the money isn't going to do me a heck of a lot of good. So that's how I would go through. And what that does, when you go through that, that caved me of my top value is health.
Mm-hmm.
Then we would go through with the remaining ones and compare them one at a time to each other.
Take comfort and comfort and comparing it with, well, you already compared the comfort and freedom, but taking comfort and comparing it with love, and comfort and comparing it with money.
Exactly. And then coming
up
with number
second.
Two. Exactly.
And whether you have a list of 10 items or if you have a list of 30 items, it's the same process.
It's the same process. And you can stop when you've identified your top five or your top 10. Mm-hmm. You don't need to. But when you go through this, because you're doing the compare and contrast with each and every one of them, you're coming up with your list. And it's very powerful when you do
right.
that.
Right. And it may take a little while to do it and really consider it. And that's why we do encourage you to take your time. Don't belabor it too long, because you're intuitively going to know. You're going to know. You can think it out just a little bit, but just go on and go with it.
Right.
And one of the other things I want to point out is that there is a difference between being inner-directed and outer-directed on your choices. And you alluded to this just earlier, Dr. Rita Murray, on how many times we set goals based upon what is expected of us, or what we always thought we would want,
mm-hmm.
And you know, duty or whatever, and those are outer directed goals. That is a goal that basically we wear like a suit of clothes, and that's very, very different from inner directed values, because those inner directed values, the reason we call them the core values is because they are at the core of your own very essence.
Okay.
And those will always bring you back home.
Yep.
So that basically, and that's a very, very short rundown, but that is how you will go through and determine what your top five values are, understanding that although they probably are not going to change greatly over time, they do change somewhat given different mm-hmm. circumstances, mm-hmm. and that's the reason why we go through this process ourselves. At least once a year, preferably twice a year.
If you're willing to pick one and say why it's important to you, and how do you feel when you access this? So in my case, it's why is health important to you? And how do I feel when I access this state? So I'll go ahead and give you an example, and then we'll see if anybody wants to share their example. So why is health important to me? Because when I am healthy, it gives me the freedom to be able to choose whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it, and that's really important to me. It also gives me the clarity of thinking so that I can, you know, sort through problems and I can assist other people with their problems. I can be really fully present for my family members, and because my brain is clear, when I feel good physically, I'm able to be really active. I'm able to have fun with my children, be a good friend, be a good mother, be a good doctor. I'm able to really be accomplished at everything I do. Plus, it feels good. I mean, there's a joy for me of just being in a body that just feels so vibrant and being able to just be strong. And when it's not quite that way, actually, I injured a hamstring the other day, and I was walking up the stairs and noticing a little bit of pain, and it was like, whoa. I'm not crazy about that feeling, and it got me, it compelled to think, okay, what am I going to do to shift that? So that's where I'm at. I just feel so alive and filled with love and filled with joy and just having the freedom of having my health.
Great. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Barbara said, God, family, love, money, and peace. And then after I went through that, she said, whoops, forgot health. Now, let me point this out.
Good point.
This is a good thing here. What we're here for is creating a mindset for health. And if you don't include health as one of your top values, it's going to be really hard to be consistently making choices that support health because it doesn't make the cut. I'm going to give you an example. I was once doing this process over the phone with someone, and she came up with her list, and at the top of her list was approval and acceptance from her friends, her group of friends. And health was lower down on the list, and she says, oh, is that why I have so much trouble sticking to my healthy food choices when I go to parties or gatherings at my friend's house? I said, well, what do you think? She said, yeah, I think that might be it. So I asked her the question, and she had been a cancer survivor, and one of her top goals that she told me when we started working together was she did not want to get the cancer back. She wanted to stay cancer-free. And I said to her, so you've had a situation where you lost your health. Okay, so if you know that these particular foods are putting you at risk for losing your health, for returning to that cancer state, which would you choose? Would you choose the approval of your friends for your food choices, or would you choose supporting your health so you don't get cancer? And she was still like, oh, I never thought about this way. And then I put it back to her. I said, if you told your friends, you know, I nothing personal, but I can't eat those foods because they're not consistent with my body fighting cancer, do you think your friends would then say, well, we don't want to be your friend anymore? And she laughed, as most people would. It's like, well, of course not. They're my friends. You know, they're not going to reject me because I choose to eat flax crackers instead of rye bread, you know, and if I choose not to eat their food. And when she came to that realization that if they were really her friends, and they really loved and cared about her, they would support her in choosing to support her health. And the shift that she made from that one interaction we had going through these core values was that she suddenly figured out what she needed to do when she went to friends' homes. And over the course of the next 6 months, she lost 40 pounds. And she became much more energetic. She felt better. Her allergies were under control. And she said to me, oh, you know, whenever I go to my friend's house, I bring something. I make a nice dish. And now they're getting interested because they love the way my food tastes.
Right? I've experienced something similar.
Haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah. So wondering what Jane's going to bring.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of them like, there she comes again. So the point is that when you're in touch with what's really important, you're going to figure out decisions that don't necessarily negate the other issues. Like, you know, so it really was important for her to have the camaraderie of her friends, but she figured out a way to be able to be integrity with her health program and also enjoying her friends. And when she did that, her choices became really clear. No longer did the Cheetos call to her.
Staying connected with her core values help her let go of some completely false assumptions she'd been making all along.
Oh, that's a real good point. Right, false assumptions. A lot of that is so. And when you're making decisions based on false assumptions, you don't get the results that you're looking for.
Well, I want to let Barbara know that I'm really looking forward to hearing more from her later, Barbara. There may have been a delay, but we just have not yet received yours. We received your registration information, but not yet your exercises from part one. So let's from chapter one. But let's go on and share that Joanna in Seattle wrote that courage is a value that I hadn't realized was so helpful in relation to staying focused on my weight goals. I'm making big changes in my food choices, and when I stay strong in my courage, it helps to get through the day. And so courage is one of her top values, and obviously is a tool to help her with everything else.
And when I'd like to ask, and if Barbara, if Joanna, if you want to answer this, and just we'll read it again, is I would love you to share with everyone how, what the relationship is with courage and your weight goals, because
when you hear them
make those connections, then it helps other people to see that.
And while she's typing that in, let's read this one that Rhonda has sent in. Her value that she chose to share is growing, mm-hmm. healthy body, mind, spirit, and character. And the reason why it's important to her, practicing life stewardship to develop vibrant health, focused thinking, effective spiritual maturity, and influential character. And how does she feel when she taps into that? She's energized, strong, fruitful, and fulfilled.
Mm.
And so you can almost visualize it when
that,
she's tapped into that. The shoulders are back, the head is up. And she's moving forth. And so thank you both for that. And, yes, Joanne, if you send that in, there's a little bit of a delay. Sasha wrote in that that besides being thrilled to be here, family, love, health, purpose. I love that purpose. And success are her top five that she identified for herself. And, again, as you see, there's no right or wrong. This is not a test. It's how we, what we imbue these characteristics with within ourselves, how we see them, how we view them, how we wear them.
So. Exactly. How we wear them and how connected we stay to them. When you think about it, if you've got core values and you're connected with it, if you're in a state where you're feeling love and you're with family and you feel healthy and purposeful and successful, wow, I mean, it just gives you a state of just complete mastery and power versus if you're in a situation where you're not being able to live up to your core values. Maybe you're in a situation where there's animosity and people don't value health, and maybe you're falling into the trap of, you know, eating Cheetos and Coke with them because that's the way it is. And you kind of feel this, it's like a contraction of your body. It's like you feel like closed down because you're not being true to who you are. And when you're true to who you are, your decisions move yourself forward. Well, you know what I would love to do, and while we're waiting, if Joanna's going to answer, we'll read that back. But what I would love
she
to do
an
is
now,
share what
ahead.
We do with this now that you've got this, once you've got this. And when you really do the thoughtful processing of writing, why is this value important and how I feel when I access this, we gave you room to do the top five. And what we recommend is that you don't just do this and set it aside, is that you read it every day to remind yourself. And I suggest at the beginning of the day before you get out of bed in the morning, because that way it will help guide your actions and your activities throughout the day. When you're keeping in mind and keeping close to heart these values, and when choices come up that make one decision might compromise one of those values, if you've just read this, it's fresh in your mind, it helps you to stay true to those values. How does this apply to eating? Well, you know, it's like you go to the buffet and you're sitting there looking at the chocolate cake and you're looking at the salad with lots of sprouts and vegetables and seeds on it, and you know that that's going to nourish you really profoundly. And you know the chocolate cake is kind of going to make you feel a little bit off, even if not right away. It'll add to your waistline. It'll, you know, destroy your immune system a little bit. And so you're sitting there, but, boy, that chocolate cake looks good. When you look at those two things and you're in alignment with your values, and one of your values is feeling good and being healthy, then the chocolate cake doesn't look so good anymore. because the chocolate cake represents things you don't value. Extra weight, feeling groggy, feeling heavy, breaking out, whatever it is that could happen from doing that. So when you start to assign these values to the things about which you need to make choices, then the choice becomes not between chocolate cake and salad. The choice becomes the difference between feeling healthy and vibrant and feeling groggy and off. And if I give you that choice, hey, you know, hi, Sasha, would you like to feel groggy today and off and a little bit bloated, or would you prefer to feel really light and lean and healthy and strong? Which one would you choose?
There actually is a commercial on TV right now where I don't even know what the commercial is for, but it basically somebody's ordering something at a fast food place. They say, well, would you like the – oh, yes, that comes with guilt, remorse, widened eyes, and you know, I mean, it's really hysterical. I've only seen it the one time. I'm going to have to pay attention next to see.
I would like that because that's great. I'd like to know what it's for, right?
Right.
But that's now, what it is when you start to just see the things as to what they are going to give you. What feeling state, how are you going to feel with it versus what it is and what it might taste like for the 30 seconds on your tongue. That's when you start to make choices. And will this happen overnight? No. But the more you read these things that you wrote, the more you go back and revisit it, the more that's going to be forefront in your mind whenever you have a choice. Should I stay in bed a little bit longer, or do I get up and exercise? Well, you know, you ask yourself, would I like flabby, weak muscles, or would I like strong muscles and good circulation and great breathing and, you know, great mood?
And because the great muscles is what's going to propel you through to do all those other things that are important
exactly.
to you.
Exactly.
It's not a vanity thing. It's because you need that. It's your health. Joanna did write in because her value was courage, and she was talking about that courage is helpful for her in relationship to staying focused on her weight goals. She wrote back in, I tend to give up and give in to foods that I know make me feel poorly due to food sensitivities. If I breathe in courage that I want to feel better and get healthier, then I focus on what is important to me. And that's exactly what we've been talking about.
Exactly. Beautifully said, Joanna.
Yeah, it is that. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate you sharing it. It really is like taking these qualities and taste them, savor them, swallow them. These are yours. So become them. And also right now, we do have about 10 more minutes this teleconference, and certainly you can feel free to raise your hands to ask a question about any of this or to write it in. And Dana, you did something that it was a good tip. She sent a question in before the teleconference. You all are free to do that. You can go on and type it in a little bit before it starts, and it'll be the first one up there.
Great. And, is that Deanna?
Deanna of Austin, not Dina, Deanna.
Deanna, hopefully we'll get two on live on another call, and I'm glad you're on here.
Well, actually, I could read her question out now.
That would be great.
Yeah. How do you overcome a self-destructive personality or shift from self-destructive to life-affirming in your mindset? And we may have answered that somewhat, but I think the important thing to remember here is that when you are fully rooted, thinking about it like if you were really grounded, almost like in martial arts, you're well grounded, you know, your feet are well planted and you can't just be easily knocked over. When you are far out of alignment with your core values, you don't have that same sort of balance and that center of gravity, and you're just going to be knocked about willy-nilly by influences around us, however well-intentioned they may seem to be, friends and so forth. And the same with your own patterns. If you're feeling destructive, like, well, my core value may be to be healthy, and I know if I eat chocolate cake, I'm going to feel very inflamed and in pain because of gluten sensitivities, but I really want that chocolate cake. Well, then it's time to begin paying attention to that.
You may find, you gave us a list that you came up with, but you may find that when you actually go through the process, the step-by-step, that you find a little bit of a difference in which ones come up for you and which order they come up for you. So I really highly encourage you, although a few of them may jump out at you and you may be tempted, like the woman I was telling you about earlier, she was tempted to just, oh, well, I know what my values are and write them down. You know, when you go through and actually do it, you may come up with some surprises, and then you may come up with some ahas that say, ah, no wonder. No wonder I have been choosing the way I've chosen. Mm-hmm. How can I talk to myself differently about this particular set, you know, this particular priority in a way that doesn't have to compromise my health or doesn't
and
have to...
And this process is also going to help you identify if people say, well, I know what my values are, but have you ever taken the time to really reflect on why are they your values? Why mm-hmm. is it that? Because it's helpful to know the why. It's part of understanding yourself just in the same way that, like you just mentioned, Dr. Rita Marie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll share, I think we have time, I'll share one of my top five. Mm-hmm. This isn't my top, but one of my top five is creativity. And in me going through these exercises, this is always in my top three. Because for me, when I am tapping into my creativity, I just become so blissful and I become so happy. In fact, at times my husband will sometimes say, geez, honey, you really haven't been in your studio working for a while. Maybe you need to go in there. You know, if I just started.
In other words, you're a little bit irritable today, Jane. Go, you know, go get a dose of creativity.
Well, I like to think it's not quite that harsh, but it may well be. And but beyond that, I also see the creativity is where I do a lot of my problem solving. Mm. And for creativity for me is almost the way that I become in touch with my own divine. And that my creativity is interlocked with my spirituality in some ways. And whereas, see, some people might think of creativity as something that for them it's something completely different. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's one of my top three every time. So I'm hoping everybody's going to have a lot of fun and seeing the value of every value they choose for themselves. Yeah. See, oh, that's kind of redundant, isn't it?
And don't judge yourself.
The beauty and the benefit of each value that you choose mm-hmm. for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if something comes up that you feel uncomfortable about, like, holy cow, I did all this and money came up like number three. What's that say about me? You know, that you're going to put a value judgment. Well, that doesn't make me a very spiritual person or that. You look at it and you accept it for what it is and say, maybe money is a high priority for you because of money is a means to something else. You know, and maybe it's not. Maybe you just like money, but it most often it's because it's a means, and you're thinking of it in terms of how can I make my life more comfortable? How can I make the lives of others more comfortable? So don't judge them; just accept them. And when there's a values conflict, you can resolve it by really going at the heart and comparing and saying, you know, if I was down to the wire at gunpoint, which one would I choose? And really go with that. And ask yourself why. That's another thing. When you do the second part of the question or the third step and you ask yourself, why is this important to me and how do I feel when I access it, that sometimes helps a lot because, you know, if you go through this thing and you end up with something in the top value and you're judging yourself for, oh, I'm not a very altruistic person with that, then when you write down why it's important, you go, ah, you know, I like that. That's a really, that it is an altruistic thing. It's just that, you know, it doesn't seem that way if you just say the word. Okay?
And that's a perfect segue if we end on this one. Sasha wrote, I have to admit that pleasure was high on my list, but not among my top five. Now, she admits that seemingly very begrudgingly, Sasha, no need to do that. Pleasure is a good thing, too. but pleasure for her equals, she writes, chocolate for me. I know I'll adverse long-term effect of chocolate, but there's no immediate bad feeling in my case, such as no immediate pain and remorse, so it's so hard to convince myself not to eat that chocolate. Mm. And thanks for sharing that. I think we're all feeling that, Sasha. So, but it's the pleasure. Think about pleasure. If it is up there among your top priority, then one of your top values. Think about it fully. There aren't any of these qualities that are good and bad. Think about it fully. And for that matter, you know, don't be horribly judgeful about yourself with chocolate. Remember that there's whole continuums of what you can do with chocolate cravings too. And you know, even if you if it's a matter of switching to a higher, you know, bittersweet, or switching to raw cacao, or switching to carob, or whatever. But more than anything, you know, don't be judgeful through this process.
And I would like to point out something on that one, too. First of all, pleasure, we all should have pleasure up in a high value, because what, you know, that's really what all this is about. It's feeling good. You know, health, you feel good. Love, it makes you feel good. It's all about feeling good. And we need to be freed up to be able to say, yeah, pleasure's up there, and, you know, by golly, it's an important thing. But the other issue comes up when Sasha doesn't equate the immediate, she doesn't have any immediate negative feelings if she eats this particular thing that she's judged is bad for her. There's two things. Well, one, maybe it's not so bad for you. Or two, there's the background long-term effects, and then there's the short-term effects. So if you look at some of your other top values that are above pleasure, like health or like, you know, your weight or something like that, then you can look at if you are really keen on stopping that because you think it is destructive but you just haven't been able to, then really tying it into maybe not the overt feelings, but, you know, making those lists of, well, the sugar does this and that and whatever. But like Jane said, you know, if it's, you know, raw cacao and your adrenals aren't shot, then it's probably okay. It's not going to hurt you, and have fun with it. What that brings up is values conflict, basically.
Absolutely. It's a great
values
point
conflict.
Tonight, Dr.
And we always want to be aware that values conflicts are going to come up all the time, and values conflicts are what keeps us trapped in the destructive behaviors, like Deanna pointed out. What about the self-destructive behaviors? The values conflicts come up, and when you're not clear, you just find yourself in this constant battle between these two values, and the self-destruction comes out. So either Sasha, you go, you know what? There's nothing wrong with me indulging this from time to time, or, you know, I really would like to get over this. And how can I really look at some of my other values and put them in a higher sense and look at how this chocolate is disrupting my other values? If you can't come up with it, it's going to be hard to get rid of it if you wanted to. So you really have to look at it from the standpoint as, how does it create a conflict? How does it create a compromise with any of my other values? So two ways to look at it.
And my closing comment for tonight will be this, since I used the image before of like a martial artist who is rooted in the ground, and his weight's like sunk into his feet so that he's solid. Then it's the same when it comes to things like chocolate and temptations. It's not about fighting them off defensively. It's more about when those challenges come with you effortlessly, being able to just with love and with grace, just step aside and redirect that energy, and you staying rooted within yourself. And that image just came to me, and I wanted to share that if that's helpful for anyone. And Rita Marie, any closing remark that you want to make then for the evening?
My closing remarks are to stay true to yourself. All in all, you know, what is that from, was it Shakespeare, to thine own self be true? It's really being true to you, not to be in situations where you're worried about what other people are thinking or how it's landing for other people. But when you act in integrity from your own heart and from your own depths, then it can't help but land okay with other people. And if it doesn't, then maybe there's some judgment there about, and some decisions there about, do these people, are these people really caring? You know, are they the ones that really love you and you know, you're willing to spend time with?
So, great. Thank you so much.
Part of your growth and in moving forward in your health and your well-being is being able to just really put yourself out there and be vulnerable and be confident in where you're at. And you may not be there right now, and that's just fine, but that's something that you may find that the more you get in touch with this stuff, the more you find yourself really stepping out there. So step out there, finish up your core values. If you haven't already sent it in, send it in. Thank you very much.